Hello, everyone. You're listening to Future Chain, your source for thought leadership on machine learning and artificial intelligence in supply chain management. I'm your host, Greg Fawcett. I have worked with AI, ML, NLP, and predictive analytics applications in industries from advertising to telecom. We're going to talk about all these technologies and how they bring value to supply chain management. We're also going to talk about the overall evolution of supply chain management. Our guest today is Ilir Skendaj. Ilir is Director of Omnichannel and Supply Chain for Logic Information Systems. He was Enterprise Sales Director and Director of Client Success for Orchestra Technologies. He was also Executive Retail Sales with SPS. Welcome, Ilir.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm glad to be here.
You clearly have been involved in a lot of different cultures. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I am from Albania. So I was born and raised in Albania, which is the Southeast Europe, just above Greece, a very small country. And I've been here in the U.S. since 1998, so about 22 years now. And I love it. Yep, absolutely. And I go back every year, too. And I enjoy cultures. I enjoy languages as well. That's another area that I'm trying to grow more of. I speak a few of them, among them French, Italian, and Spanish. That's one area that I'm trying to always know more of and expand with other languages.
Very impressive, and I'm sure very useful in the business world.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've been using that heavily in my career. And I didn't think it was going to be such a use, but I've dealt with clients across the globe that have a variety of needs. And, you know, there is obviously that language obviously helps bridge that gap when you switch from an English, which is a universal business language, to the local language.
And I know you have a primary passion. What is that?
Well, my passion is technology. And not just one area of technology, it's technology in general, and how it really helps shape the world. To be honest, the first sort of thing that I heard, many years ago in elementary school, there was this saying that I forget exactly who it came from, maybe Henry Ford, but there isn't real progress when the advantages of a new technology are made available to the masses. And it stuck with me. It stuck mm-hmm. because it is the truth, right? We always talk about progress in technology here and there, and lots of it is obviously interesting development, but until it's made available to the masses and everyone can enjoy those sort of efficiencies or those new features, then it's not real progress, right?
Until it's ubiquitous.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuck with me, and I've been always fascinated by technology and how it affects everybody's life. So very, very passionate about it.
Well, I'm sure that's critical with logic.
It is, absolutely.
Well, why don't we talk about your focus? Clearly, the pandemic has had a major impact on retail. Please tell us about the retail supply chains Logic is working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'll take a few seconds just to give you a quick high-level overview of what Logic does.
Please.
So, yeah, we are a global consulting firm, and we focus primarily on retail. That is really the vertical that we operate, and always with the technology angle. Because retail is our main focus, that means that we're extremely, extremely versed in all areas of retail, from supply chain, right, so from end-to-end, till all the physical and digital touch points of a retailer, right? From POS to digital commerce and everything in between. Having this type of depth and width of knowledge and ability to help clients in retail makes us unique in our approach, in our offering, and in the industry, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. So at Logic, during the pandemic, I'd say almost all of our clients got hit. Some harder than others. We've got a good mix of general merchandise apparel clients as well as some grocery clients, and we also have some B2B clients. So we got to see a wide variety of problems, of issues, of responses, of planning that went from sort of how do I manage now that my business dropped from a certain level to a level below that, to how do I manage the amount of business that I'm getting because everyone is shopping now in the channels that I'm offering, aka maybe a grocery client that we had. So we got to see sort of both sides of the spectrum. And it was, again, a very, very, I think, interesting to see how, you know, clients approach this with a different mindset. And obviously, our goal as a consulting firm was to be by them and with them during this process and guide them to make the right decisions and also help them use this opportunity for this year to essentially build their roadmap or maybe accelerate their transformation, the digital transformation. And if you look at it from terms of supply chain or omnichannel, which are sort of the buzzwords that everyone is throwing around, it's pretty simple, right? Both of those areas, you know, contribute to the bottom line and to the revenue in maybe different aspects. If you think about it in terms of supply chain, that area really is all about efficiencies, is about streamlining processes, you know, essentially saving money. So you're adding money to the bottom line. So there's obviously a lot of focus there, and there's a lot of sort of you know, thoughts around how we can improve it, optimize it, and so forth. And then on the omnichannel, on the other end of the spectrum, with the omnichannel side, it's all about how can I sell in more channels with less friction, make it as easy as possible for everyone that that you know wants to shop my products. So it's all about top line growth essentially and maximizing revenue. So we've taken a very, very I think unique approach on how we address both of those areas with our clients to enable them, A, first and foremost, to continue operating during COVID at maximum capacity with maximum efficiency. And there's obviously a lot of details that we can go through, and then we can probably discuss it more later.
That's great. And your primary client base are brick and mortar retailers?
Right. You know, we've got some, we've got a few online only retailers, but I'd say by far more than 95% of our clients fall in the both online and.
Well, we're right up against the holidays. I'm sure a very busy time for you. What's new about holiday retail this year?
Well, as I said, majority of our clients sort of went in the defense, meaning that they were just now looking at finding ways to capitalize on this situation by A, optimizing their supply chain. So it was an opportunity to go back and revisit their current processes, revisit their current technology, and understand what they can change to get ready for a you know higher volume, and or also from a supply chain perspective, work with their supplier community to get more visibility and provide them with more visibility in what's coming down the pipe. So we've been extremely busy working with our clients to just optimize that process, especially from a demand forecasting perspective, which has been, most of our clients has been a big challenge. There's gaps across the board where, you know, you have buyers and other planners that are working with a very static, you know, sort of process where they just put a min-max, if you will, and, you know, that kind of governs their process, where we're going in with a much more holistic approach with custom-built AI tools to optimize ordering based on not just their sales process, what's happening at the store level, but also understanding what's out in the supply chain right now from their suppliers. So kind of using both data points to optimize what's being ordered. So that is actually one area of interest that has been also successfully implemented with a few of our clients, especially now during the holiday season.
Very interesting. Tell me more about the AI custom tool.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've our team, we've got several practices that are all right part of the retail you know focus approach here, and our insights planning and optimization and I guess AI team, data science team, has been working hard for the past year and a half to put together this tool, which can be overlaid easily above any type of application or solution that clients use for demand planning or forecasting. And it really leverages data from, again, all these different data points that we would, input in, and also aligns and connects on the supply chain side, right, on the sort of outside portion of the four walls of the retailer to get that the right data points from the suppliers to form the decision on what needs to be ordered. So there's obviously a lot of effort that went into building this tool, and it's, again, one of those added services that we provide to our clients to add efficiencies into their processes.
So you do custom development, custom product development, in addition to the services you provide?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrific. Well, one of the other impacts of the pandemic is a desire for contactless processes. One example of that is curbside retailing. How is that working?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because that was really the first one of the first things that we as Logic created. It's a custom development we did for a few of our clients that came to us right as all stores got shut down, and obviously with COVID, as everybody knows, each country has different approaches to it. But in the U.S., we experienced this extreme shutdown of all operations. So most of our clients were looking for ways to accelerate BOPIS or buy online pickup in store processes, and as well as enable new experiences with curbside pickup. So what we did, we built and created this solution that could easily integrate with existing operations, existing systems and solutions that they have in place, and essentially enable a BOPIS experience. Think of it as a customer-facing order management that enables that last mile delivery to be very, very frictionless and improve that experience for the customer. So we really were able to launch it and get it up and running within 2 months. So we had quite a few clients that were interested. And to your point, that really has become one of our areas of growth, internally, where we're working with quite a few clients and enabling those different BOPIS scenarios, those different time slot scenarios where, you can't have more than a certain number of people in a store. And then trying to manage the operations of the store based on the amount of orders that you can process, right, and number of guests that you can process within that store. So those are all unique sort of scenarios and use cases that we were able to address with our capabilities and capacity to help our clients.
Terrific. What does Logic do in terms of supply chain optimization?
Yeah, great topic, right? Like, as I mentioned earlier, that has been an area of focus for us, because that unlocks a lot of value for most of our clients. Supply chain, we see supply chain as a building block to truly execute a successful omnichannel experience. You have to have a fully baked and fully streamlined, with efficiencies in place, from fill rates to inventory turns and so forth, that enable that then the retailer to truly understand what they have outside of the four walls. Because there is two areas of supply chain, as you can imagine. You have the supplier portion, the manufacturers, and how you as a retailer interact with those suppliers, with manufacturers, with carriers, with 3PLs, and what processes you have in place. And then you also have the more on the insights planning on the sort of supply chain, or the internal supply chain, if you will, with your warehouses, with your stores, and how you're able to orchestrate all these different points to enable you, the retailer, to expose, because ultimately the goal is for you to expose the product, the right product with the right pricing and the right inventory to your customer. That's really the end goal. So how do we get there? That's how we've built a full process in optimizing, by taking a look right from the beginning, from the inception point, and ensuring that first and foremost, let's ensure that the items and the product items that your suppliers are sending you, the retailer, have the right attributes and have the attributes that you need to ensure that when you expose them to, you, let's say, an e-commerce or another digital channel or physical channel for that matter, is presented with the right set of data points, like pricing, like pictures, descriptions, and so forth. And you have that unified view across all your channels. So the supply chain optimization process that we put in place allows those retailers to leverage their existing investment. And this is one of our key points that we highlight with our clients. We're not coming in and saying, hey, you need to rip and replace what you have in place. Obviously, the CFO would kick us out. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously the easy solution in a way. But and, you know, even though it might take quite some time to implement and very costly, but really our approach is let us take a look at what you currently have in place. Let us do a gap analysis and what are the business processes that are driven by, you know, the technology solutions you currently have in place. And maybe certain gaps that you have in technology are driving certain business processes that might not be as efficient as they could be. So we take a look both from a technology, business processes, and kind of create this sort of a heat map that overlay above all their like their current processes on the supply chain, and also on the omnichannel side, because again, it's all connected ultimately. And understand how with our solutions that we have in place, along with our processes and change management, we're able to essentially allow the retailer to maximize their existing investment on supply chain and tools and solutions they have in place, right? So that's the key thing, right? We're not going in and saying you can optimize all of this by replacing everything. We're going in and saying we can help you optimize your supply chain, and with obviously very tangible ROI numbers, by leveraging your existing investment. And that is a very, very compelling message, which has resonated extremely well with our clients. So we build this ROI roadmap, if you will, or roadmap with ROI, obviously, elements in it that in the end has very tangible results that translate in hard dollars. As an example, without naming the name of the client, just right during COVID, we were working very closely with a large retailer, $3+ billion in revenue, that has stores across the U.S., but a very inefficient supply chain with fill rates that were below 60%, with inventory turns that were abysmal. And just by putting together our supply chain optimization process and enabling all of those elements that I just mentioned, and really ultimately putting together an execution plan, we were able to unlock more than $4.2 million a year. Which is, again, a tangible number with, the CIO and the CEO gladly presenting the results to the board, right? So ultimately, our goal is to ensure that the client sees the value and understands where the dollars are going and how our processes and our maybe tooling or retooling of what they're currently in place can unlock that value. So that's just a prime example of some of the things that we've done with supply chain optimization. And it's an ongoing process, right? I mean, keep in mind, this is not a one-time deal and you're done. This is obviously, it's an ongoing process that requires a constant sort of fine-tuning of the process and adoption from the different players, because there's a ton of focus sometimes from the retailer on the internal systems and buying maybe the fancy planning tool or the fancy forecasting tools or demand inventory management tools. And a lot of times retailers forget on that, supply chain is also your external, partners, right? How you interact with your suppliers, with your manufacturers, with your carriers, your 3PLs, all that process requires a lot of focus and getting that data in, optimizing how data comes in from outside within your four walls is as important as you as a retailer focusing within your four walls and your internal processes.
Well, your model of leveraging existing investments, I'm sure is very attractive to clients and prospective clients. What percentage of your client base is adequately equipped with their existing investments? And I ask that because we're in an industry that is still using legacy systems extensively.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. In all honesty, right? We're not saying that you should keep what you have, right? What we're doing is we're saying, listen, we can optimize your supply chain. We can enable you, or we can enable omnichannel experiences for you and being able to execute a successful omnichannel strategy by leveraging your existing investment as a step one, right? The goal here is to give a path to our clients to slowly find the best of breed approach and remove tools or pieces of software that it's either old or it's enough of a legacy that an upgrade will not work, and then get them to the path they need to be in, right? While taking advantage of our approach so that they can say that, hey, we are able to execute an omnichannel strategy. We're able to offer our customers an omnichannel experience. Even though I don't have the latest version or the latest tool or the latest solution, I'm still able to do this or enable these omnichannel use cases. But again, it's not that it's the end result, right? We still highlight the path and we build the roadmap to get them through that transformation process. Again, this is just a step one, right? The whole idea here is that they still need to generate revenue. They still need to unlock value where value is being lost from a supply chain perspective, while building a roadmap to say, here's how you can get out of it by removing this tool, removing the software, changing this business process. And here's that timeline to get there. And obviously Logic will be present through this process and guide you through the process and help you through the implementation as well of this.
Well, let's drill down a little bit more. What does it mean to Logic to operate in an omni-channel basis?
That is, it can mean a lot because, as you can imagine, omnichannel from the word and the root, it's everywhere. And that really, what that does, right, when we work with our client, it puts us in a situation to take a step back instead of just, for example, enabling an e-commerce experience or, an in-store experience that leverages, let's say, digital capabilities. What we do is, let's just say, we want to enable you as a retailer to launch any digital experiences that you want. So for that to happen, you as a retailer need to have access first and foremost of the key commerce data points like customer information, product information, inventory information, pricing, all these details that you as a retailer need to run your business. So for most of our clients that have made, and most of our clients are large, have made, multi-year investments in the past, 15, 20 years, done some upgrades, have a lot of legacy and have a lot of technical debt. So it's not feasible for these clients to just replace a solution because now they need to launch a new experience, right? A new omnichannel experience. So what we do is we are strategic on our approach. We say, allow us to get this legacy system to work together, share their data points into this layer that would allow you to customize with, and us as well, obviously, with workflows, customize how that information is presented to your digital touch points. And that's key, right? Just the biggest exercise in this approach is getting the data that you need to run your business. Like I mentioned, product information, inventory, customer data, pricing, and so forth into this layer that can be extended, that can be customized, right? That has workflows built in it, that has all these elements that you can then expose into any channel with just quote unquote a simple flip of a switch, right? And I'm simplifying it obviously, but it's a much easier process for then a retailer to say, I'd like to launch this digital experience, for example, using RFID. I want my customers to just get this shoe or this pair of pants or this whatever into an RFID locator in my store and be able to know where this item is located. If the sizes that my store currently has in place doesn't have it, I'd like them to just get an understanding where that item is in the closest location, warehouse, another store, and finalize the transaction in that screen, for example, at the store. So for that experience to happen, that screen needs to have access to all the data points, inventory, pricing, and so forth, across all the channels, wherever they are, you know, potentially even outside of the internal four walls of the retail ecosystem. So that's what we enable with this approach, right? Just plugging in all the data points into the layer then allows this sharing as needed by experience. So, right, e-commerce, mobile applications, in-store kiosks, which is another area of focus of ours, and so forth, easily, right? That's the key thing, easily. Because you could do it, right, with a monolithic and you know, legacy architecture, but you're going to have a spaghetti sort of integration process with just which is just not efficient, and you just cannot scale up. We're giving them a path to A, scale up and enable omnichannel experiences, while slowly then with their with their budgets, with their ability to change and transform, they can replace pieces of software underneath that maybe are either too old or they have been in the process of being changed, without affecting what's happening in the front end with the different experiences. So again, this is it's called a headless approach, really, but it's much more than that, because it's ultimately allowing that retailer and not just retail, really, a client to enable different experiences. So it's, you're future-proofing essentially your business, because you can now talk about social selling, you can talk about like I said, in-store kiosks as an example, and any other channel that you can think of, as long as that channel or that experience leverages retail specific data points. Those are key, right? So that's why we're putting the building blocks in place with that.
Well, let's move back up to the 50,000 foot level. What is necessary for all this digital transformation in supply chain management?
It is not a simple question, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of competing priorities. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the goal for our clients is to just sell more everywhere with less friction, with maximum efficiency. So for someone to successfully execute this sort of model, needs to remove themselves from the typical approach of, I'm going to buy this large ERP, maybe this e-commerce platform, and then just make it happen. The biggest challenge, and this is how most of our engagements start, and the clients see the value right away, is let's fix your data. And with any chief digital officer that we work with, or any CIO or chief merchant, the biggest challenge is data and the quality of the data. And we're talking about data that is coming from the outside of the ecosystem of the retailer, and data that's within the four walls of the retailer. How can we make sure that we have the right data where we need it, and B, the quality is there with the right attributes, if you will. And really, that becomes the key building block. And by data, really, I mean the biggest piece of data, or the best, I'd say, piece of data would be item information. Item information, really, or product data, is the building block of any retailer, as you can imagine, right? Mm-hmm. Because that really drives everything in retail. It drives orders, it drives inventory, and then price is attached to products. So it's everything. So if you have product information or the product data, if that is incorrect, or if it has not the right attributes or the right information, then you are indeed not set up for success as a retailer. You're gonna struggle, and it's gonna show across your channel. So that is really the very first thing that we address before we even talk about anything else. Before even going to replacing a demand planning solution with something else, we just talk about, let's understand how data and how product information, more specifically, is shared across your different systems and outside of your four walls, how that process sort of occurs, and what are the challenges and the gaps that you have.
So the preparation of the data is obviously critical to the services and the tools that you provide.
Absolutely, right? That is, by far, I'd say that is the very first step. You know, without that step being executed, you know, you just won't have a successful implementation. You know, garbage in, garbage out goes the saying, right? And so that is a prime example of that. And but again, like when I say data, right, we can talk obviously for all kinds of data. Our main focus, especially for retailers, is let's ensure you have the right product information and you have the right item information coming from the outside in. And let's ensure that we're enriching that with the right type of assets and attributes so that it's when it's shared across all channels, both physical and digital, you're sharing that unified view.
Well, let's pull all of this together and give it application. Please share case studies on how you provide services and tools to your clients.
Well, so that is, so those are the areas that we have addressed successfully with most of our clients, right? We go in on the supply chain side and on the omni-channel side, right? We, most of our clients already have the tools, let's say, to launch an e-commerce or being able and provide, let's say, a mobile application for their customers to shop from. You know, while we can easily, right, provide services and implement those different tools, the biggest need that our clients have right now is how can I leverage my investment? So as a use case, I mentioned the one of our specialty retailers that, you know, is a $3+ billion retailer being challenged with inefficiency in their supply chain as a starting point. And we unlock being able to unlock more than $4 million a year that was just being wasted from the fill rates being inefficient, from inventory turns happening, from having no visibility in what their suppliers were bringing into the warehouses, were not enough visibility. So all these different challenges, you know, that we had highlighted, right? We put together a plan on how to execute and essentially unlock that value. So that is an ongoing, obviously, project, and we'll have some more time before it's finalized. But it was clear from the get-go that you know, there's a lot of money being left on the table there. And then on the other hand, right, as another case study, I guess we can talk about optimizing and enabling omnichannel experiences. Again, like I said, most of our clients are already mature. They're mature retailers that they have e-commerce as a business model, but it's not efficient enough. It's not optimized. It's not able to truly enable that omnichannel experience where you as a customer can go into a website and being able to see the inventory of the store that's closest to you. I mean, in theory, it might sound easy, but it's not. It's not easy to pull that off where you are able to present and expose as a retailer the inventory wherever it is to your customer and being able to show the right amount of product with the right pricing, with the right promotions to that customer that is maybe, you know, in a city, in a particular city or particular state. So we're able now with the solutions and services that we put together to enable those experiences. So while they're not point solutions, and this is the key thing in here, Greg, because we're past the point of point solutions at this point, at least for most of our clients, they've made the decision to invest into an e-commerce platform or an inventory planning or a forecasting solution. You know, our focus has been in the past year to optimize what they've already spent money on. And so that, for example, is a use case when I showed you being able to expose the right inventory with the right pricing, with the right promotions to a customer that's shopping in the website by putting a zip code. That is another area that we've been successful with actually a few of our clients. And it's all about leveraging their existing investment, right, without having them to buy new solutions and then replace things.
And you're clearly measuring ROI by cost savings. Do you look at the overall supply chain cost and have a target in terms of a percentage saving that you'd like to reach? What are your goals, as you assess an engagement?
Well, yeah, exactly, right? So typically the way that we first approach this is by just starting with a very simple, 3 to 4 week sort of analysis, high level analysis to understand better the different gaps. This is with if it's with a new client, obviously. For existing client, we have an understanding. But to your point, what sort of metrics we use, that really is defined on a per engagement cases, because there isn't a one size fits all approach. Every client has different needs, different KPIs, and obviously different objectives. So we go in and start first and foremost with an agnostic approach by just highlighting the pain points that they have already voiced and they've already told us about. But then obviously everything is connected. So the ROI ultimately is tied in to the current processes. And if you were to put a dollar amount, ultimately it's got to be a matter of, hey, if I'm spending X number of dollars on this services that Logic is providing, and they're able to unlock or generate, for that matter, X number of revenue, it's got to be in the at least 10% of services. If it's giving me, so let's say on 100% total, the cost to generate that amount is just 10% of will cost me 10%, right? Mm-hmm. That has been really our metric, rough number, but it's different per customer. So as an example, if I'm unlocking $1 million in either cost savings or top line growth, then it makes perfect sense to spend 10% of that amount as a one time engagement to enable that, right?
Are there any other case studies you'd like to reference?
We would spend a lot of time just on case studies. There's quite a few. Obviously, we work with 150 plus clients globally. There's 750 of us spread globally across different regional offices. But I think that the biggest thing that I wanted to highlight is that the things that we're seeing right now in the market, that the pandemic, the COVID, coronavirus has sort of brought to light is the inefficiencies that most clients now are stuck with and are looking and are working hard to eliminate. And then also now their digital transformation, and I'm sure you've heard this from others, has been accelerated and brought forward by a number of years. We see that that being the primary focus on what we see in the market.
Now, we can't end a discussion of retail without talking about the 800-pound gorilla, Amazon, in the space. Talk about the havoc that they've wreaked, but also to your earlier point about gap analysis, where are the opportunities where retailers, particularly those that go through this digital transformation, how they can differentiate against that behemoth.
You know what, Greg, you bring a very interesting topic. I thought you wouldn't ask, but I, with Amazon, right? Yes, it's been used as sort of the everybody's measuring themselves, their operation, their technology, and so forth, against Amazon and all the experiences, sometimes the customer experiences and the expectation of customers nowadays are driven pretty much by what Amazon does, which is good and bad, right? So sometimes, I think it's overall is good because it's pushing everyone to be better at whatever they do, right? But what we've seen, in all honesty, is yes, everybody wants to do that. We see a push from additional players that you didn't see as a typical retailer, but primarily as a as a congregation of retailers, aka marketplace, where now they're saying, you know what, I have a brand, I have footprint, and I have eyeballs. How can I monetize this? So what I'm talking about here is malls, and it's interesting because without going into names, in the past few months, during the pandemic, this is another area that I meant to talk about earlier. Malls and are looking at finding a way and monetizing their existing physical footprint. So one thing that we're doing now, and we're in the planning process right now, obviously, without naming names, we're finding ways to ensure that malls are able to leverage their physical footprint and work with their tenants to provide a local marketplace that can be that can have an Amazon-like experience, where you're able to go into the mall's website and be able to shop, right? Be able to shop from the existing local tenants and provide that same level, and this is where I'm tying the dots here for you, the same level of experience that Amazon provides, from returns, from visibility of inventory, to understanding the product description. So having all those different things that you're used at with Amazon, right? You have that same type of experience, but at the local level. So that has been actually a very, very interesting business use case of our capabilities as a company to enable retail experiences. Malls have looked now, have been looking, actively looking to engage into this type of model. With, like I said, COVID has sort of accelerated that. And it's obviously for them to collect revenue, but also as a value add to their smaller tenants that maybe don't have millions and millions of dollars to invest into different solutions and provide an Amazon-like experience. So think of it as a subsidized way from that small mom and pop to still be able and deliver an Amazon-like experience without having to be all-knowing in technology. So that's a use case that we find extremely interesting, and we'll see how that moves forward.
Very interesting competitive positioning. You'll have to come back and tell us more about how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Alir. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
My pleasure, and looking forward to connect with you again.
Definitely. And thank you, listeners. Please visit your favorite podcast platform and give us a review and subscribe. We're building a resource for you. Email us at info@futurechain.org with your feedback, suggestions on guests, and questions. Thank you again, and look forward to the next time that we get a chance to share more information on supply chain management.